Praise God. You got your Bibles? Turn to Philippians, the fourth chapter. I told you God had already put a word in my heart. I had to put it together. Of course, you have to put everything together. How many know the kids get toys? You got to put them together. How many read the instructions? Most men don't. We have to sometimes. We got parts left over. Amen. But thank God he helps us even do that, does he not? Now, I've learned to ask God to help me even with the little things. I may know things can turn into a bucket of snakes real quick. And even things you think you know and do know, it's good to stop and ask God to, Lord, help us with this. Even though I know and I've got the expertise, help me so it doesn't turn into a bucket of snakes. Praise God. Anybody had something turn into a bucket of snakes? Something should have been easy, should have gone fine, should have, yeah. Okay, you've been there, done that, got a T-shirt. Okay, all right. Hallelujah. Philippians, the fourth chapter, 4 through 6 verse. Amen. Hallelujah. The message is don't worry, but I didn't say be happy. I just said don't worry. Amen. Hallelujah. Because you may not be real happy about something, but you don't have to worry about it. Amen. All right, you'll get that. Philippians, the fourth chapter, the 4 through 6 verse. Why don't you just rest and relax? And we're already up for a little bit, and we'll honor the Lord as we sit in his presence. Is that all right? Yeah. The Bible says, I'm reading the Living Bible. King James says a little bit different. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Living Bible says, always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Verse 4, let everyone see that you are unselfish and considerate in all you do. Remember that the Lord is coming soon. How many believe that? Verse 6, this is our text. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God your needs. And don't forget to thank him for his answers. Amen. If you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will keep your thoughts and your hearts quiet and at rest as you what? As you trust in Christ Jesus. Amen. How many are trusting in Christ Jesus? Your hearts will be at rest and will be quiet. And then he gives an exhortation to think on these things, but I want to start with that because we'll come to the finally in just a moment. Amen? Look at somebody next to you and say, don't worry. Don't worry. We're going to talk about don't worry, especially in a world and a time when there is a lot to worry about. Are you hearing me? At least we think there's a lot. There is in the natural. We would tend to do that because of what we see coming, what we see already here. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word today. Lord, give us your rhema, your personal word to us. Let everyone receive what you want them to receive, to hear what the Spirit would say to them today. Father, speak it through me, speak it around me, in spite of me, whatever it takes. Get your word to your people because your word is life. And your word, you sent your word and healed us and delivers us, everyone. I thank you for what you're doing right now. I thank you, Father. I bind every hindrance, every interference, every obstacle. I thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you. Help me to be concise. Help me to speak with clarity, with distinction, with understanding. Holy Spirit, I trust you. I lean on you. I depend on you. If anybody gets anything, it'll be because of our precious Holy Spirit who teaches us. He is our teacher. He is the one. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing today. I give you all the glory. We're going to thank you ahead of time for blessing us with your word today. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen, amen, amen. The Bible, God's word says, don't worry about anything. We just read it. Instead, pray about everything. How many know if you don't pray about everything, you will probably most likely worry about everything? Come on. Whatever I don't pray about, I have a tendency to worry about. Uh-oh. Some of us think we have a gift in that area, but it's the wrong gift. Amen? Yeah. And so we don't worry about anything, it says, in the natural, because it comes so natural. Does it not come natural to worry? That's like telling a baby not to cry, someone not to eat or not to sleep when they're hungry and their eyes are heavy. And for many, some more so than others, worrying is as natural as breathing. Amen. Not to worry seems illogical and impossible. Somebody's got to worry about it. You can hear them saying to each other, I'm so worried about this, so worried about that. I'm so worried about so-and-so. And they'll look at you and say, aren't you worried? And if you say no, they'll say, oh, you don't care. No, you should be. You should be worried. What's wrong with you? And so we want to look at worry since the Bible says don't worry. And worry is so common, so natural to us. If the Bible says don't do it, then I need some teaching. I need some word to help me not do what the Bible says don't do. Amen. Because in the natural, I'm prone to worry, especially in times like these. Amen. The Bible says not to worry, so for a few moments, let's define worry, what it is, what's really behind it, what's causing us to worry. Chuck Swindoll, the great Bible teacher here in California for many years, moved to Plano, Texas, nationally known radio Bible teacher, said this. He said, worry is pulling tomorrow's cloud over today's sunshine. Can I say that again? Worry is pulling tomorrow's cloud over today's sunshine. What a great description, a great definition of worry. Kenneth Copeland, in his devotional, which you have as a bulletin insert today, one of the devotionals entitled Free from Fear, says fear is the root of worry. 1 Timothy 1:7 says, and most of you know it, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear. See, notice that the fear is a spirit. Fear is a spirit. God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, somebody say power, and of love, and of a sound mind. And how many know we need a sound mind with all there is to worry about? Amen. I need a sound mind because it can drive you out of your mind. You're probably thinking of someone right now. Amen. Smile, and we won't know who, but we'll know you know what I'm talking about. One paragraph of Brother Copeland's devotional, which you may read on your own, which is in your bulletin, he says this. He says, faith, and I will put in here the opposite of fear, is developed by meditating on God's word. Faith cometh by what? By hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we get faith by meditating on the newspaper. Is that what it says? No, not unless the word is in the newspaper. We get it by meditating on the word. Amen. Fear is developed. Stay with me. Hear this now. Fear is developed by meditating on Satan's lies. Fear, if I let it stay, believes more what the devil says than what God says. Devil says you're going to die. God says you're not going to die, but you're going to live. You have a choice. Whose report will I believe? The devil says you're going under, you're going bankrupt, but God says I'll supply all of your need. And he says I'll be with you no matter what. I'll never leave you or forsake you. So whatever you have to go through, I'll be there with you no matter what. Amen. I'm not saying you may not ever experience that, but if you have to, for whatever reasons, God will see you through it. Many people have had to go through some bankruptcy. Amen. How many know the government, the law provides for that? If you get into a place where you cannot continue to pay what is owed, whether it's medical bills or whatever, your fault or somebody else's fault, thank God for a government that provides a way for us, for you and me, American citizens, to get a fresh start. Now, if I can and if you can, we all want to pay our bills, do we not? Yes, we do. And so we hold out as long as we can. But if it comes to a point where the whole ship is going to go down, then you need to avail yourself. And I'm sharing this just probably whoever might need it or somebody that you know, because people have a question. Can I do this? Does God approve of that? Well, you've got to seek God's will and make sure that you're in the will of God. But it is provided. It is the law of the land. And it's there to provide people to get a fresh start. Are you hearing me? Now, in the Bible, that is scriptural, because in the Bible, every 50 years, the Jubilee, all debts were canceled. Matter of fact, every 7 years, they had a deal where debts were canceled. Amen. And people's lands were given back to them, and everything was canceled. How many know that'd be good if we had that in America today? But because of the laws that God's given, there is opportunity for people to get a fresh start. And sometimes people need a fresh start. Amen. Does that help anybody? Praise God. Amen. Whew, glory to God. I feel the Holy Spirit. Sometimes people feel condemned, you know, about doing things that are lawful and God provides and has provided through our form of government. Praise God. All right. We're defining worry, for God has not given us the spirit of fear. We see the devotional there. We see that meditating on the devil's lies, the meditation is called worrying. Amen. What am I going to do? What's going to happen to us? That's where we need the word. We need to speak the word. How many know when you speak the word, it counteracts fear. Are you hearing me? Speak the word, counteracts fear. Don't speak the word. You will be more fearful and more fearful and more fearful. The word says this, and that faith meets fear and says no. The government comes to your door. One time the government came to my door early in my Christian life, and something happened on the tax return, and they sent me a letter saying, we're going to take your house, the big bad wolf. And I got panicked. I said, oh, man, we got to do something. So I started calling and seeing who I could bank I could borrow this from. And finally, the Lord just called me down and says, why don't you calm down? Why don't you just come to me, ask me what to do, amen, and not be operating in fear and panic and just tell the devil, no, that they're not going to take my house. God will make a way. God will show me. And so we worked it out for $300-something. Isn't that something that take your house over $300? Don't get me started on that. Amen. But God did make a way. He showed me just how to do it, and I didn't have to borrow it from the bank. I didn't have to go through all that. God worked it out. I think we worked out in payments or something. One time there's somebody bill said I owed $20,000. I about fell through the floor. I said, how can that be? I didn't make $20,000 that year. I said, there's got to be a mistake. And how many know the bank and the government, they always tell you they never make a mistake. But they did make a mistake. They misread a figure, and so that was resolved. Praise God. Hallelujah. I mean, it wouldn't have been good to have a heart attack right there. And yes, fear will make your heart beat a little faster. Come on. But faith will calm it down. Whew. Have faith in God. Have the faith of God. Amen. God, help me with the things that threaten me and the things that are coming. Amen. And that have come and are working. Amen. So faith is developed by meditating on God's word. Fear, meditation causes us to worry. The devil's words. Don't do it. I said, don't do it. Don't meditate on what the devil says. Meditate on what God says. If you don't know what God says, find out what God says. Get in the Bible. Get in the Word. Just open it up. God will speak to you. You don't have to be a scholar. You don't have to be a pastor. Just open the Bible. Tell somebody, open the Bible after you get the dust off of it. Amen. And better than that, after you find it. Oh, I better leave that. That wasn't nice, Pastor. Amen. And so to be free from worry is to be free from fear. Are you hearing me? Where does worry come from? Where worry comes from? And it comes from fear. David said in Psalms 34:4, I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. He sought. Did you catch that? He prayed about it, which in turn enabled him not to worry about it. Do you see that? I sought the Lord, and he heard me. Hallelujah. And delivered me from what? How many fears? All my fears. All my fears. Not just a few. Not just the little ones. But the big ones too. Amen. Amen. There is no foundation for worry in the scriptures, in the word of God. You won't find any foundation for it. Concern, yes. Concern about your health. Concern about your rent. Concern about your mortgage. Concern about your children. Yes, but not anxious, not having anxiety, not worrying, leading to stress, which can result in all manner of physical manifestations. Amen. How many know worry and stress will stress your body out, will manifest if it continues? Amen. A lot of man's maladies are because of worry and stress, the wrong kind of stress. I tell you what, the Word of God puts stress on the devil. I said the Word of God puts stress on the devil. That's where the stress needs to be. Amen. Matter of fact, I have a note here. It says, he's worried when you're not worried. The devil's worried when you're not worried. And when you're worried, then he's not worried because you're doing the worrying for him. And I tell you, the devil is worried every day that he still lives. Are you hearing me? Yeah, because he knows where he's going. He's trying to get out of it, but you know what the Bible says. You know the last chapter. Amen. And so we see that worrying leading to stress and resulting in all kinds of physical maladies and manifestations. The difference, I just want to touch for a minute, the difference between worry and concern, catch this now, is worry sees problems, concern solves problems. Worry sees problems, but it doesn't see any answer to the problems. Well, Jesus is the answer, in case you don't know. Amen. He's the answer to everything. Every problem you've got, his word is the answer. Everything in the word of God is the map, is the roadmap, is the guide to every answer, to every question, to every problem is in the word of God. You don't have to look for it anywhere else. It's in God's word. But the problem is we don't want to do God's word sometimes, so we try to get around it and try to solve the problem every other way, and the problem just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And we keep getting further and further and further, amen, from the answer. And the answer was there all the time, amen, because he was there all the time and is there all the time. So worry sees problems, concern solves problems. Secondly, worry lives in the future. What might happen? What could happen? Concern solves problems, and concern lives in the present. Amen? Concern lives in the present. Worry lives in the future. Concern lives in the present. We got to pay the rent. So, Lord, what are we going to do about that? Amen? The Lord says, I've told you what I'm going to do about it. You pray. Amen? You don't worry about it. You pray about it. And then let me watch what I do and watch what I help you do. How many? Anybody had God help you pay the rent? Anybody had God help you pay the mortgage? Anybody had God help you save your house? Maybe you lost a house, but hey, he still helped you anyway. Come on. Praise God. Lord, thank you for your help. I thank you, Father, for concern. Yes, we are concerned. Amen? Concerned about our children. We're concerned about our spouse. We're concerned, but we're not worried. Worry says, I don't believe God's big enough to handle it, or he doesn't care enough about it, or he's not listening, or he hasn't heard me anyway, so I guess I'm going to have to take it into my own hands. God's not moving quick enough. I guess he's a little too old, you know. He's been living a few eons. He doesn't see me. Maybe he doesn't care for me. Maybe he doesn't like me. Maybe because of what? Not, I haven't done everything right. Maybe it's because that's the reason. How many know God doesn't operate on any of that? God loves us no matter what. And if we'll come to him, and if we missed it, just say so. Ask God to forgive us and move back and get back up and move right on. Amen? Don't let the devil keep you down. And so we see, and we got to remember, when you can't help but worry, worry can't help you. When you can't help but worry, and how many people say, I can't help but worry? Worry can't help you. Worry never helped anybody, which we will see shortly about the Lord telling us not to worry. We know and we see the physical results and manifestations of worry. We see stress, we see sickness, we see division, we see disharmony, we see contention, strife. But what is the downside of worry from the spiritual point of view? I may know we live in two worlds, physical and spiritual. We see the physical downside of worry. What is the spiritual downside of worry? Amen. Are you still there with me? Connecting a number of biblical dots, if you will bear with me, results in a serious conclusion. Worry can be viewed as sin, and sin is not pleasing to God. Sin can keep God from working in our lives. That's why we encourage all men everywhere to repent. Get right with God. Amen. Stop doing that. Repent and start doing what God wants you to do. Sin is defined in some of the definitions I found through the years. Sin, the Bible says, is missing the mark, amen, that God has set. Sin is also doing things our way versus God's way. Did you catch that? It's getting our needs met our way on our terms versus God's way and God's terms. That is human nature. You don't meet my need, I'll find a way to meet it. I'll get what I need. Everybody needs love anyway. How many wish they hadn't have found what they found and met the need their way? Come on. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And because we do it our way and keep trying to do it our way, which is our human fallen nature, we keep going through and recycling whatever it is. Husbands, wives, churches. And we figure we got to get it right one of these times. I thought he was Mr. Right. I thought she was Miss Right, but ain't nothing right. Uh-oh. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Lord. Help me to preach this, Lord. Sin is getting our needs met our way. I like that definition. I don't like doing that, but I like the definition, which always leads to some form of death. I said it always leads to some form of death, emotionally, relationally, financially, whatever it is. When we try it our way, I don't know about you, but I've lived enough years to know it doesn't work my way. It's not going to work my way. I've tried my way. All I can do, I've done everything you can do to do it, and might get a little bit of relief here or there, but then we're back in the soup. Amen. God help Campbell's. Amen. Hallelujah. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, the free gift of God, the living Word, Jesus, is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." The Word, the life, Jesus. Several times Jesus used the phrase, "O ye of little faith," to describe people who were worried about the future, worried about their physical needs, Matthew 6:30, worried about their physical safety, Matthew 8:26, worried about their inability to find a solution to their problem, Matthew 14:31, and their lack of resources for ministry or whatever, Matthew 16:8. In each situation, people were worried about their circumstances. Sound familiar? And Jesus linked their worry to a lack of faith. O ye of little faith. In closing, I didn't say I was closing, just a little more in a great big subject here. Is that all right? In closing. I'll be closing in just a moment. But I want us to read just one portion of the scriptures I just gave you. Amen. And you would have been smart if you were taking notes, but nobody, a lot of people don't plan on remembering anything anyway. Amen. They got too many worries. Come on. You see your pastor with a pen and a notebook. Why don't you follow the leader? But you have a photogenic memory, I understand. I know I'm not trying to scold you. I'm just telling you, if you get some of this and, oh, forget it. Amen. Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. All right, happy-luja. One of the two. We forget it so quick. Let me ask real quick before we go there. If you're worried about physical needs, Matthew 6:30. I'll say it again. I may have said it too fast. I speak fast, so you have to listen fast, quick. Some are worried about their physical safety, Matthew 8:26. If you're worried about your inability to find a solution to a problem, how many have a problem you can't find a solution to? Don't we all? Matthew 14:31. And how many have a lack of resources for whatever, ministry or whatever? I identify with that, Matthew 16:8. Amen. Now, if you would, just turn quickly, since we're in closing, Matthew 6 chapter. And I want us to look at a portion of Scripture Jesus gives us and the different people and the different things people are worried about, because he's concerned about what you're worried about. He cares about you. I know the devil says he doesn't care about you. Doesn't the devil tell us that Jesus doesn't care? Come on. If he cared, he'd do something. He's such a liar. He's always telling us, well, if you know, where's your God? You walked in faith. You moved in faith. Now look at you. What are you going to do now? Matthew, the 6th chapter, the 23rd through the 34th verse. Are you getting anything? How many are getting too much and you didn't pay for all that? Hallelujah. Tap somebody on the shoulder next to you and say, in front of you, say, are you getting this? Oh, dumb, are you getting this? Are you getting this? Are you getting this? And I may know this is a good message because the days we live in are perilous days. Huh? How many are going through things right now that could cause you to worry and have worried? Maybe even kept you up at night. Come on. And I tell you, it's not going to get any better in the days as we come to the coming of the Lord, because things are increasing. Men's hearts are failing them for fear of what they're seeing coming. Amen. We're seeing things we never thought we'd see. Men are doing things we never thought they would do. Persecution coming in a way that we have not seen since the first church, first century church. Woo. And if it comes to America, what are we going to do? We really worry then. If we worry now, come on. If we don't get this now, yeah. Well, I feel the Holy Spirit. Help us get this, Lord. Matthew 6:23, let me give you Jesus' words. Verse 25, he talks about different things going on. Where your treasure is, your heart will be there too. Wherever your money is, that's where your heart is. He says, no man can serve two masters. You're either going to hate one or love the other. So you can't do us, you know, one foot in, one foot out. You can't serve God and mammon. And then verse 25, I want to pick it up there. Living Bible. King James says, therefore, I say you take no thought for your life, what you eat, shall eat or drink, or for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Living Bible says, so my counsel is this, Jesus says. How many want counsel from Jesus? How many know that's good counsel? You may not like mine, but Jesus has good counsel. My counsel is this, red letter, don't worry about things. And then he lists the things, food, drink, and clothes. For you already have life and a body. Yeah, but I got to put clothes on it, Lord. I got to feed it. Okay. He says, for they, and they are far more important than what to eat and wear. You already have life and a body. What's he talking about? He said, I've given you all things that pertain to life and to godliness. How many believe that? Lord, we will believe the report and the word of the Lord. I've already given you everything. God has given me everything that pertains to life, food, clothes, everything, and godliness. I must confess that. When I have my need and I need food, I need some clothes. How many have ever needed some food? Come on, talk to me. Then I need to confess the word that says the word. How many people have got food brought to their door when they trusted God and believed God? How many missionaries, how many orphanages have received miracles from God because they believed God's word? Everything in heaven's currency is faith. We get nothing without faith. Everything is obtained by faith. Not by sight, by faith. We live by faith. We move by faith. Everything that's not faith, the Bible says, is sin. Amen. Hallelujah. So everything, I confess, he's given me everything that pertains to life and to godliness. I've already got it. Lord, I receive it. Now where is it? Put God to the test. He likes to be put to the test with his word. God, where is everything? I got everything here that I don't have. What's up with that? I'm talking to you, Lord. It's me and you. I'm reverent. I want to be reverent with you. You're God. But I'm telling you, I have a need, and I'm going to seek you. I'm not going to worry about it, but I'm going to pray about it. Whoever heard of a Christian praying about anything? My God.
Prayer?
Prayer? What kind of cult does that? Human nature is to try everything but pray, and we will worry about it. That's our favorite. And that includes all of us. And the pastor, too. The flesh would much rather worry about it. Makes me feel better. Doesn't do anything for me. But my flesh feels better. Somebody's got to worry about it. Aren't you worried? Don't you see what's happening? Look around. Don't you see what's going on? Aren't you worried, pastor? In the natural, you'd be crazy not in the natural if you're going to operate in the flesh. I say you'd be crazy to look around, not worry in your situation, what you're facing, what you're dealing with, what your kids are dealing with, what they're doing. What she's doing, what he's doing, what they're not doing, what's not happening, what is happening here, what's not happening, who's giving, who is it, what's this, what's that. Amen. That's where we got to do spiritual warfare. That's where we got to take the word and stick it in the devil's pipe and let him smoke it. Let him get high on that. Here, devil, take that. Take that bud. Amen. This bud's for you. Hallelujah. You either give him his bud, the word, or he'll get you to drink a bud. Amen. Come on. I may get some word, they drink themselves into oblivion. Come on. Uh-huh. We got more people in America smoking marijuana and more smoking it every day. And if you're a baby boomer, you grew up on it. I have visited people in their homes and reached between the cushions and found a doobie. Walked in unexpectedly and got loaded just from the smoke still in the air. Woo! And act like everything's all right. Amen. Still love you, brother. I can tell you the spot right here in Lancaster. The trailer park I was at when I got loaded with what's the smoke in the air. I had to. It helps me, Pastor. I know there are some medical uses to it, so if you're medically using it, I understand. But if you're eating it just to eat it, amen, come on. And now they say it's more potent than ever. Woo! I tell you, we got people that are running for us and saying, hey, you know what, I'm not going for Colorado. And how many know a lot of Coloradans are not going for what's going on in that state? I'd be scared to drive in Colorado. A lot of people loaded. Talk about the Rocky Mountain. Yeah. Well, tell me we ain't got a nation of worried people. That's why they take drugs. Most of them, they're worried. They see what's going on. They see what's happening. They say, well, eat, drink, because tomorrow we die. Come on, in that smoke, drink. Tomorrow we die anyway. So what? What the double H hockey sticks? Amen. For my soccer friends, amen. Are you still with me? I don't see how you could be. I'm all over the place. He says, for you already have life and a body, and they're far more important than what you eat or wear. Look at the birds. They don't worry about what to eat, verse 26. They don't need to sow or reap or store up food. For your heavenly Father, he knows that he feeds them. You say, yeah, but I'm not a bird. Oh, he's trying to tell you, don't compare yourself to a bird. Let you know you're more important, for you are far more valuable to him than they are. He says, if I'm taking care of them, I'm going to take care of you. How many know birds go through some things? Have you talked to a bird lately? You see the trials and the things they have to worry about? Bible says they don't worry about it. God takes care of them. He says, you're more valuable than they. Verse 27, will all your worries and single moment add a single moment to your life? Talk about that in a moment. And why worry about your clothes? Look at the field of lilies. They don't worry about theirs. Verse 29, yet King Solomon in all his glory was not clothed as beautiful as they. Verse 30, and if God cares so wonderfully for flowers that are here today and gone tomorrow, won't he surely care for you, O men of little faith? And all the ladies said, amen, O men of little faith. But how many know this is not gender here? This is both genders. Before you get too happy, ladies, many times when you see he and she, and the Word of God is not talking single, it's talking both he and she, and he, she, if there's some of those too. Oh, I got to leave that alone. Amen. I mean, God loves it all. He loves them all. And he loves whatever her name is that just became a woman. Jenner, Caitlin, Lord have mercy. Verse 31, 32. So don't worry at all about having enough food and clothing. Don't worry at all. Take no thought. Why be like the heathen? For they take pride in all these things, and they are deeply concerned about them. But your heavenly Father already knows perfectly well that you need them. Verse 33, and he will give them to you if you give him first place in your life and live as he wants you to. If you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then he says all these things will be added to you. That's where I have to concentrate. Seeking first the kingdom of God. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I don't know why the devil's lie that people think they can seek God when they want to on their schedule and do it if they feel like it, and God's going to reward them. How stupid is that? Forgive me. We're smarter than that. And if we're not, we should be. If God says he's a rewarder of those who diligently, what don't we understand about diligently? Not sometimes. Not when I feel like it. Not when it's comfortable, not when it's convenient, not when I have time. Diligently seeking first the kingdom of God. The problem is men build their own kingdoms. Come on, pastors build their own kingdoms. Presidents, leaders build their own kingdoms. But there is a kingdom, and we are kingdom citizens. And so it's not your kingdom come and your will be done. It's his kingdom come and his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we're trying to get God to do it our way, to do it by my kingdom come and my will be done, and it ain't happening. And then we get an attitude, and we get upset, and we start getting mad at everybody around us because we're trying to do it our way, which won't work. And then we make everybody else pay for it with our attitudes, our disposition. God added a sin to ask God to forgive for me for. Amen. He said there's a third sin, not just a sin of commission. What you do, and you know you do it. There's not just a sin of omission, sins, things you should have done you didn't do, but you weren't really aware of it. There is a third sin, and it's the sin of disposition, attitude. I may know somebody that's for. Isn't it great? It's for everybody else. I love it. You know, I'm just thinking about that. I'm thinking about her. I'm thinking about him. Makes me feel better. Say it again, Pastor. I love it. It's so good. So good. The only problem is they're not here. Well, I don't know what to tell you, because if you take it home, I don't know what happened. You might have to duck. Amen. You folks love me, so you're kind. Amen. You understand. You're patient. Give him first place in your life. First in everything. First in everything. First in your time. First in your treasury. First in your talent. Don't pretend you're giving God first place and fool yourself and expect God to be able to move when you have tied his hands and handcuffed him. He only moves according to his word. He can't do anything else. He is bound to his word. Amen. And so we get mad at God. Anybody ever been mad at God? I have. I may know some people who cuss God out. I may know he can handle it. I'm not advertising. I'm not advocating it. But I may know God is not going to. He knows. Well, I better leave that alone, because you might go out thinking, well, I can do that. No, you don't want to do that. So what do we have here? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It's a matter of priorities. Somebody say priorities. Yeah. Verse 34, take therefore no thought for the morrow. Don't be anxious about tomorrow. Don't worry about tomorrow. You know, that's good right there. If you don't get anything else, don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about tomorrow. Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow. People come in church like this. They're listening to me right now, and they're thinking about tomorrow. Thinking about that boss. Thinking about what we're going to do. Where's the money? Didn't say wrong to plan for tomorrow. Amen. Live one day, though, that like it's your last. Plan like you got forever. But don't let tomorrow rob you of today. People are so worried about tomorrow, they can't live with joy today. Amen. Wow. And so Jesus, these are red letter again. Take no thought. Don't be anxious, worried about tomorrow. God will take care of your tomorrow too. He's taking care of your today. He'll take care of your tomorrow too. Hallelujah. I believe God will take care of my tomorrow. Whatever I have to face, whoever I have to face, God said, don't worry about it. So, Lord, I'm not going to worry about it. It don't look good. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to say. I don't know what's going to happen in that meeting, whatever it might be. But you said, don't worry about it. Hallelujah. Isn't there a power and a strength in that? You can get a good night's sleep on that. You can enjoy today with that. You can enjoy your meal today on that. You can enjoy your family with that. Enjoy your life, yes. And he closes this. He says, God will take care of your tomorrow too. Live one day at a time. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Live one day at a time. Live one day at a time. Sweet Jesus, glory to God. Are you living one day at a time? Are you really living today? Are you so worried about tomorrow that your day today is miserable? And everybody around you is miserable because misery loves company. And if I'm not happy, I'm mad because you're happy. And bless God, I'll keep on it till you get unhappy with me. I will provoke you and provoke you and provoke you till you will even make a preacher cuss. That's not my wife. She doesn't do that. I don't cuss unless I get that darn cat. Ask somebody after service if you don't know about the darn cat. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you with me? See, this is going to hold you up because the stuff that's going on in our world today and what's about to transpire, things we have never heard of or ever thought could ever happen, are happening. And when they happen, God forbid, what is going to happen to you as you see these things coming, Jesus said, upon the earth? One lady, she got so worried here in Lancaster, she moved to Arkansas. She was worried about the earthquakes, earthquake country. This is a true story. Maybe doctor knows it. You might even know her. I don't remember her name. She moved, older lady, bless her heart, moved to Arkansas. Arky there, Ozark, okay. And you know what happened? She moved there. She was driving along a car one day, and a log, a board off of some truck, fell off, came through her windshield. It was, hello, Jesus, goodbye, world. Don't let fear drive you. Don't let fear cause you to make decisions, especially temporary, permanent decisions on temporary situations. That's a real danger for us. It's a danger for me to take temporary things. This too shall pass. I may know a lot of things will pass. Now, some things may still be there, but some things will pass. Amen? Tomorrow's another day. This thing's going to pass at some point. Most things, all things are subject to change. So I'm not going to make a permanent decision on a temporary situation that I will regret later. I'll give you examples, but I don't need to. I think we've got the point. Amen. Live one day at a time and live it. Somebody shout, live. Are you living? Are you just existing? You just going through the motions? Live, baby, live. Live, man. Enjoy God. Enjoy your family. Enjoy your wife, your husband. Enjoy your kids. Enjoy today. You have no guarantee of tomorrow. Live it today. When I live or when I die, I want it to be said, at least he lived. He lived his life. Hallelujah. He enjoyed. He wasn't all grumpy and ugly and worried and making life miserable for everybody. Look like he's pickles all day, sour ones. Nothing against dill pickles. Love them. Oh, hallelujah. Now, this is the closing. Oh, yeah. No way. Lord, strike that unbeliever right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We see here from Jesus in the scriptures, we see that worry is irrational. Stay with me just for a couple more minutes. He says, look at the birds. You're more important, far more than the sparrows, the lesser to the greater. He says, worry is not only irrational, it's illogical. Look at the lilies. If God cares so wonderfully for the flowers that are here today and gone tomorrow, won't he more surely care for you? Three. Thirdly, we see worry is ineffective. It can't add any hairs to your head, he says. If it could, I would have had a full head of hair. And you wouldn't pull so much of your hair out. Or, God forbid, pulling each other's hair out. He says, worry can't add any days to your life. But how many know you can subtract days from your life and years from your life, as there are real accounts, listen to me, of people worrying themselves to death. The man right here in Palmdale, Lancaster, worried himself to death. They found him dead, no physical reason, lying by the train tracks. I shared the story probably some years ago. I still have the clipping somewhere. I couldn't find it for this, but worried himself to death. Some people speak their death. Well, I'm not going to live past this, you know, such and such. Oh, man. Worried themselves to death. You can add days to your life, but you can subtract them too. And the writer of Hebrews says again, without faith, without trust in God and his word, it is impossible to please God. Amen. Are you pleasing God? If you're having faith and walking in faith and walking by faith, you're pleasing God. Amen. If you're not, you're not. Amen. No ifs and ands or buts about it. And how many want to please God? That's why we're here. We want to please God. I want God to be pleased. Amen. And Paul wrote this, that whatsoever is not of faith, and I said it already, is sin. Romans 14:23. Worry is not from faith, but from fear and perfect love, the Bible says, cast out fear. Who is perfect love? Jesus. So a lifestyle of worry is certainly not pleasing to God. We all have worried. I say we all have worried from time to time. And some have a personality that is more prone to what they call a worry wart. I don't know where they got that term. How do you put worry with wart? I'm sure you have a definition, but we will not take time for it here. Both ugly. Oh, very good. Very good. Yeah. We all have worried. Doubting because of our circumstances. Doubting because of our circumstances that God cares, that he's big enough to take care of it or me. And if you're worried today, I say if you're worried today, confess it to God and put your faith in him. Amen? And remember our text today. Philippians 4:6-7. Are you there? Remember our text. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. And then I like the last verse that he says, and now, brothers, I close this letter and this message. Somebody ought to say, praise the Lord. Paul had a problem too. Amen. His problem was so bad, a guy fell out of the third floor. He preached so long. Ain't nobody fell out here. At least I didn't see him. Amen. Listen to what he says. And now, dear brothers and sisters, as I close this letter, let me say this one more thing. Fix. Somebody say, fix. That is not the wrong kind of fix. Amen. Fix your thoughts on what is true and good and right and lovely and pure and of good report. Dwell on the fine good things in others. Think about all you can praise God for and be glad about it. And keep putting into practice all you've learned from me and saw me doing, and the God of peace will be with you. Do you know that verse has become more and more in my life in the last days and weeks and months, as I consciously, by the power of the Holy Spirit, able to rest my thoughts away from the negative and to begin and tell myself at that point, quote this guy, I will think on what's good and what is lovely, what is of good report, what is pure. I think on those things and I thank you for them, Lord. And if I'm thinking something negative about somebody that's done something to me or whatever, I'll say, and send good things to them, Lord. Bless them. I will not let the devil take me there anymore. I have power to take control of my thoughts. I say, I will not think on that. I know where that's going to take me. But I will think on what's good and lovely. Ooh, there's enough good and lovely to think about it. There's enough good and lovely people in here to think about y'all. I'll think about Willie, man. I like Willie. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. I like all. I love all you. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, stand with me. Kept you here long enough. And can you believe it's not even 12 o'clock yet? Man, did you get double for your trouble today? Amen. Is that all right, Willie? All right, he's waiting for that. Willie comes expecting, praise God. Woo! I got one thing the Lord told me that we have to confess, we should declare and confess. If you'll say it with me, walking around in worry stops today. Walking around in worry stops today. Right now, I will not worry. I will trust in God. Amen. Have faith in God. Yes. Believe that he cares about me. And cast all my care on him, because he careth for me. Amen. We got to cast it. You got to cast that care. Cast it. And we got to get a hold of our thoughts. We've got to get a hold of our thoughts, church, brother, sister. You can't keep thinking those negative things. They'll take you right out. They'll take you out of a marriage. They'll take you out of a church. They'll take you out of a job. They'll take you out of a city. They'll take you out. And God doesn't want that for you. Because I tell you what, we're all under attack. I said we're all under attack. Some more so than others, but you don't know what kind of attack my sister's under. You don't know what kind of attack my brother's under. You don't know what they're going through. They might not tell you or show you anything. People are private. They don't put their stuff out. But believe me, they're going through things. And I tell you, I understood a long time ago, I couldn't go through what they're going through, and they can't go through what I'm going through because it's tailor-made. God has seen it. God is using it. So I can't tell you if I was you, I would do this. Oh, shut up. You know what you do. You do the same thing they're doing. If you were in their position, you'd be thinking the same thoughts until you heard a word. Amen. So don't be looking down your long, sanctimonious, self-righteous nose, thinking somebody's better than anybody else. We're in this together. Hallelujah. And I don't want anything negative. I don't want anything negative hindering you. I want to be a blessing to you. I don't want to be a curse to you. I want to be a blessing to you. And I want you to know that I'm thinking good thoughts about you because God's thinking good thoughts about you. And boy, when the devil tries to get me into a negative, I say, no, 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 sir, no, 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 not now, not tomorrow, and the next day doesn't look good either. Amen. That's right. Walking around in worry stops now. I will not be afraid what man can do to me, David said. I will not be afraid. I will trust in God. I've got needs. I've got situations. I've got circumstances. In the natural, I could worry myself to death. But I'm not in just the natural. God is in me. Supernatural. I've got his word, which is powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing soul and spirit asunder. We got to divide soul and spirit, our soul, our emotions, our feelings. We got to divide that from our spirit because they get welded together. Then you don't know if you're coming or going. Come on, because your spirit man is welded to your soul. You're going by feelings, by your senses, by your emotions, by how you feel. We got to go by how the word says, amen, by faith. If I go by how I feel, that could be dangerous at times. Huh? How many of any wanted to send somebody to meet Jesus? Is that a nice say? That's a nice way of saying, you know. Uh-oh, I read somebody's mail right there. My God, they might have... This might have been their day, amen, but for this message. How can they hear without a preacher? Glory to God. Lord, I'm getting out of here while I can, amen. Raise your hand up and receive a blessing from the Lord. God, you said we could bless one another with your blessing, and so we do that right now. We bless everyone that's under the sound of my voice, greater that's under the presence and power of the risen Christ. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing. I thank you've given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. You've told me showers of blessing. The windows of heaven are opening up on the church. We declare it. You said, ask of the Lord rain in the day of the latter rain, and the Lord would make bright clouds. Lord, we ask you for rain where it's dry. Thank you for sending the rain. Thank you, Lord, right now. Thank you for making bright clouds for the dark clouds. You said to ask, and so we're asking. You said, we receive not because we ask not, so we're coming. We determined not to worry about anything today. With your help, Lord, deliver us from worry. Forgive us for worry. We recognize it's a sin. We are concerned, yes, but we're not to be worried. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing in the face of everything the adversary is doing. God is greater, and Lord, you will have your way. Are having your way. You are blessing us. We're about to see more. Yes, it does seem to ebb and flow and go up and down, and we're there, and then it's back again. But God, we're trusting you that if you did it once, you'll do it again. Amen. And Lord, we thank you for this day. We're going to enjoy today. I pray you enjoy today. Live it like it's the last day of your life. And plan as if you have forever, because you do. Hallelujah. I love you. God bless you. God be with you. If you need special prayer, please come. Have somebody pray for you. Myself. But have a great week. Thank you for coming. Amen.